Good morning, girls. It's Friday, October 6th. This is Darla Shine, Happy Housewife, the original Happy Housewife, I'm going to just say. The only one out here ready to say to the world that I am proud to be home with my kids, and it is a noble profession. I was just on the internet reading something that Miss Vargas from the Overnight ABC News program, that Dana, did you say you're a fan of that show?
No, I don't watch.
Well, somebody I was talking to said they were a fan of the show. We have Dana in Michigan with us today. And anyway, Elizabeth Vargas came home. She went home for 7 months on her maternity leave. Now she's back, and she said that, you know, being on both ends of the spectrum, she can see why there's this whole mommy war going on. And, you know, but personally, you know, she just couldn't take being at home. Oh, well, too bad. I just can't take being at home, so I'm just going to leave and go back to work. You know, I love when people say that. Yeah, it's hard being home.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of being, people look down on it. They're like, oh, well, I can't take being home. It's like beneath me to be home. I just something I'm not going to do. They'll bring in the nannies and I'm going to go back to work in my job overnight. But probably, you know, if she works at night, probably her, you know, husband gets to be home with the children. Who knows? I don't know her situation, but that statement aggravates me to no end. I just can't be home. I was at a dinner last week, Dana, with my husband, and a woman came up to me who also is in the television business, who I know from my former producing days. And she's like, I don't know. I don't know how you could be home. I was home for like 4 months on maternity leave. I couldn't take it. I had to go back to work.
I don't know. I wonder what is behind that mentality of I just couldn't do it. I don't think it's that people can't do it. I think that, you know, when it boils it all down, they just don't want to. They're putting their
obviously
career...
they don't want to. They're putting the career first. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, put your career first. Go ahead, make that choice. I don't care. But do not put down women who do make that choice. Like we're crazy to be home.
Right.
Like, this is what they're saying. You must be a moron to be home with those friggin' brats. This is what they're saying in so many words. Oh, I can't. I couldn't take it. I don't know how you could do that. What does it mean how I could do that? Did you see my point? They are insulting me. This is an insult to me, an insult to women who are home when statements like that come out. You know, I should walk around saying, oh, my God, you work all day? I don't know how you could do that. From now on, Dana, that's what I'm going to do. Whenever I see this a woman in the career world, before she gets to say something to me, I'm going to say, oh, my God. You get up in the morning and have to go to work? How do you do it? I could never do that. but that's what I'm going to do from now on.
I think you should. It just seems to me like it's the easier. You know, maybe this is what it is. Maybe it's because it's the scapegoat. It is easier to go to work for 8 hours a day than it is to stay home and raise your kids. I think it's a cop-out.
Of course. I have always said it's harder to be home. It's harder to be home. You know what? This is the most important job, however. Me being home raising my children, you being home raising your children, is more important than going and reading the news into a camera. I'm sorry. It just is. Okay? Raising the future of your kids is more important than, you know, reading a teleprompter and looking at the camera. I'm not saying women shouldn't do that. Go ahead. Enjoy your career. I don't care what you do. Go have your career, but don't put us down while you're trying to make yourself feel less guilty, which is the bottom line.
Yep.
Which is the bottom line. But yep. Dana, you know, I'm sitting here looking at Country Living magazine, and this is one of the reasons I do love being home. I love looking through my little magazines, and I'm looking at this beautiful cover with this beautiful chocolate bundt cake that is shaped like a pumpkin. They take two bundt cakes, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you make two of them, and then you put one on top of the other.
That
get
is so
it?
Smart.
And
oh
it looks
gosh.
Like a pumpkin.
Did they frost it with
well,
orange
frosting?
Well,
they melted. The pumpkin is actually a chocolate cinnamon spice cake that they did. And then they melted the vanilla frosting, which I would have put a little maybe orange food coloring in it. And then they dripped it along the top. And then they made some kind of fake little stem here with a little leaf out of something. But I just think that's adorable. And so this makes me happy. This makes me happy for today because I'm going to make this. This is in Country Living, which I love this magazine. Yeah. Do you ever get this magazine?
No, but I think I'm going to now.
Well, the new thing that I'm looking at in here is now what they're doing, instead of carving the whole pumpkin through, you make all these designs with like this little carving knife. Have you seen that?
Yeah, and you just like it's almost like just scraping the surface down.
Right, you're scraping the surface. You can make all these decorations, and then in the indentation, you paint it with a yellow paint, and it looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm going to be doing this weekend. So I guess that my little carving of the pumpkin and making a bundt pumpkin cake is exactly what these women are talking about when they say, you know, what are we doing at home? But I guess this isn't prestigious and stimulating enough for, you know, hotshot jobs. But this makes me happy. And you know what really makes me happy is Department 56. And I'm not getting any advertising money for this, so you know. But have you seen their Halloween stuff that they have out?
I've never even heard of Department 56. Where is it? Is it online?
It's online. It's in all the magazines that have all the little ads, all those little Halloween, like, village buildings and all these tchotchkes. Have you seen them around? No?
No.
Well, you're living out there in, like, nowhere world where you have nothing going on. You have got to get with the rest of the world. Maybe, do you want me to start sending you my old magazines?
Shut up.
A good thing. No, seriously. Don't say shut up. That is a great thing. Let's start that. We should do book and magazine swaps where people send the old things that they read, because it is such a waste of money.
You know, that is a really good idea.
Oh, so you see? Take it back. It's a brilliant idea. We could do a swap, because once you read, I have so many books, I have so many magazines, you read it and you hate to throw them away.
Right.
You know, and I think that we should do, didn't somebody suggest a book swap one time? We never set it up.
I don't know, but I'm writing it down now. We'll get one going.
You know, we have finally, girls, Happy Housewives Club members, we finally, after, I think Erin has like killed herself because I haven't heard from her in 2 days. But we finally were able to transfer the entire site to a new server, which means that we have more room to do what we want. We were limited with creating everything that we wanted. Then, because we ran out of room, we lost a lot of our posts. We had posts for a whole year, and they're all gone. We only have, like, the posts from the last month. So we're going to have to make up a lot of information, and some things we're going to have to put back up there. And one of the things that we have lost, which is very upsetting, is some of the best posts, like, you know, my husband's an asshole. That was good. Remember?
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a lot of – I didn't even write that. Who started that post? Was it Debbie? I don't remember. But we're missing a lot of good, fun posts. But anyway, we're going to get this up. We're going to do a book swap, a magazine swap. And I don't know. I mean, how much would it cost to send old magazines around? Would it be expensive?
I wouldn't think it would get that. I mean, as long as we're just, like, sending one or two at a time. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm going to look into that. But that's one thing to consider. But definitely with the books.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, we definitely should do the book swap. We have a mom swap page. I don't know if anyone goes there. Girls, go to the mom swap page and let's start getting some action there. We'll put the book swap on the mom swap page. I want women to realize there's a whole website out there. Mm-hmm. Everyone just goes to the forums.
Yep.
So we have to get the What's Cooking page going. I want people to post their recipes. I want to have a budget recipes up there, and I want moms, like, you know, to be able to post information on how they're saving money. I want to have on our eating healthy page all information on how women can stay healthy. Speaking of that, Dana, guess who called me yesterday? You'll never guess, so I'll just tell you.
Okay.
Dr. Furman. His book I have on my main page, diseaseproof.com. Mm-hmm. is his website. He has a book, Disease Proof Your Child, Disease Proof Your Life. I love his website. Everybody has to go to Joel, J-O-E-L, Furman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N.com or diseaseproof.com. So I had told him a while back, you know, I had called him, I told him I loved his books and I was going to put his, you know, information on my main page and I wanted him to come on the show. So yesterday, I don't know why, I was thinking of him. And then he called me.
Oh, that's kind of freaky.
Like 5 minutes later. Well, you know, I'm a little bit of a witch, I have to say. So I do. Like, people pop into my mind and then they call me. So I think I have some kind of ESP. So he calls me up and he's going to come on next week. I have him getting Skype installed. But
yay.
Last night I went on his website and I came across some amazing information. And I think that all of the moms need to go on that website and look around. And I want you to particularly look about the children page, what's going on with how to feed your children. I spoke about this yesterday. What you put in your kids' mouths now is going to determine if they get cancer, if they get disease, when they get older.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he said the biggest problem is, and if you think about it, most kids on a daily basis are not eating any fruits and vegetables,
mm-hmm.
anything fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have to make a conscious effort to make sure my kids eat an apple every day. Otherwise, they would never eat it. I have to force it down their throats.
Mm-hmm.
So I want everyone to get on there, check it out. And one thing that I was on his site led me to another site, which is holisticmoms.org.
Okay, I'm going to go there right now.
Okay, go check that out. Holisticmoms.org. And that site I love. And that site led me to another site, which is Healing Cancer Naturally. So I found three new sites that I love, and we're going to post all this on the main page. But when you read about healing cancer naturally, it doesn't necessarily mean you have cancer. But what they're saying is there are certain things you could do to your body, Dana. You could detox your body
mm-hmm.
and try and get the toxins out of your body and prevent cancer, the cells from breaking up and forming cancer. It's wonderful information, and we're gonna put it up there. Did you get on the site?
Yeah, I'm on there. I'm on there. I wanted to make a comment about our body's ability to heal itself from cancer. Mm-hmm. We've had several family members die from cancer over the years. And during one particular one, I started looking into, believe it or not, me reading about how, you know, the prescription drug companies, basically there's a cure, but they're not letting it be known because they're making so much money off the drugs. And that basically our world and our bodies were created to be able to heal themselves. And there are natural things out there that are there to be able to heal even cancer.
Well, that's what this website is.
Right. And one of the big things was even like green tea was a big, big, big thing. And it's been several years since I read this book and I don't remember the name of it or anything, but it did mention how green tea is one of the better things to be doing for your body too.
Right.
I mean, well, in addition to everything else, but it's supposed to be pretty effective. So,
well, this website, Healing Cancer Naturally, is one of the websites. There's also a book that women can read called Nature Nurture by Dr. Gaynor, which we mm-hmm. have to put that up on the website. Are you taking notes, Dana?
Of course, I'm always taking notes.
Take notes. But anyway, if you go to this Healing Cancer Naturally, they have a whole section on preventing cancer. And, you know, like you said, drinking green tea is great. However, you have to have fresh green vegetables in your diet every day. You have to cut out toxic, wasteful food that has, you know, all this kind of antibiotics and steroids. And I talk about this every day. So the problem that we have is we're eating all junk that I told you is fake food, and it causes toxins in your body. Another good thing is to get the amalgam out of your teeth.
What?
The amalgam, the silver fillings in your body.
Oh,
are full of mercury. And they're finally mm-hmm. finding a correlation between that and cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? So, you know, there's so much information here, but it's so much more beneficial if the moms get on and start reading it, start looking at it themselves. And another thing that is so neglected besides nutrition is our minds. You can have an emotionally toxic mind,
mm-hmm.
and it puts stress internally on your body. And
yep.
so when you're mad at your mother-in-law or you're mad at your neighbor, when you're holding in all this negative energy,
mm-hmm.
it's very unhealthy for you.
Right.
It's very unhealthy for you. And get on the site, girls. Read about detoxification. I'm going to start detoxing my body. Today, after reading the site last night, I did not make any coffee today, Dana. I didn't. I had a cup of green tea with honey. I had a bowl of whole grain cereal with lactose-free organic milk.
Mm-hmm.
And for lunch, I'm going to have a big salad with lots of fresh fruits and vegetables cut up in it. I love to put apples and apricots in my salad.
Yeah, that's good to do.
I love that. Sliced strawberries, blueberries mixed with nuts. And I'm going to have that for lunch. And then for dinner, I'm going to have, you know, something else with lots of greens and maybe a piece of fish. But that's it. I am changing. And I think I eat healthy, but I'm not eating healthy enough after reading this website.
Okay, well, then there's the flip side. Okay, for breakfast, I'm on my fifth cup of coffee with regular milk that you buy from the grocery store, regular processed sugar. For lunch, since I'm running errands, I'll probably either not eat or grab a bagel from the coffee shop. And then for dinner, we're having steak.
Why would you say you're not going to eat? Why wouldn't you, knowing that you're going to be out running around, pack a little sandwich or something to nibble on that's healthy? Do you have fresh, you know, something like turkey breast or anything?
No. My boobs are about the freshest breast in this house right now. I need to go grocery shopping.
Well, I'm going to hit the grocery store today, but I'm going to tell you this. I think that it's time for you to snap into action. And the reason that I am really getting serious about this now is, number one, I'm 40. Number two, after reading all this information, I realize I have had like 20 years of toxic living. Girls, I only started this whole healthful bent and shape on life, you know, after I gave birth to my son. But before then, I mean, my entire college years, I think the only thing I ever ate was Roy Rogers fried chicken. We had Roy Rogers right there, and that's all I ate. I was obsessed with Roy Rogers fried chicken. That and Taco Bell. Beef burrito.
I love Taco Bell. Mm-hmm.
The beef burrito. Now, that's not even meat. Who knows what that is? It's like...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. The rumors around it's like a kangaroo's ass. I don't know. But that tastes good. It's all salt. It's like 99% salt. That's got to be the worst thing that I could have put in my body. And so I've realized is all of that, all those years of eating terribly. And then through my 20s, all I did was drink alcohol. Seriously. Mm-hmm. All I did was drink alcohol, go out all night with my friends, drink, and go to the diner after we drank and get a cheeseburger deluxe.
To soak up all the alcohol.
That's what I would. That was my diet. So I don't think I had a fruit or a vegetable in my body from the time I was 17 to the time I was 30. Seriously.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously. And then when I was working in Manhattan, all I did all day was drink cappuccinos and eat plain bagels with nothing on it. I would send my assistant out every day. I mean, Larry was my assistant. Larry Ruiz, I miss him. And his job in life was to make sure I had cappuccinos on my desk. That was his whole job. But think about this. So 13 years of toxic mm-hmm. eating. Mm-hmm. So this is why I think when I got pregnant with Connor and I started eating healthy for him and then I gave birth, I think my body was just completely devoid of any nutrition.
Well, and it catches up to you because when I was – in my teens and very early 20s, they used to make Mountain Dew in the 1 liter bottles. They were called Big Slams or Grand Slams or something like that. But I loved them. I would drink a couple a day of Mountain Dew, and I would get at least one, if not two, cappuccinos a day, like mochas. I love mochas. Well, a couple of years ago, I was having problems in my midsection, and I thought it was like, I don't know what I thought it was, but it ended up, I have ulcers on my bladder.
Right. You had told us that last
year,
right?
And I think that's a lot of what it was is because of all that harsh Mountain Dew and stuff on me.
If you start reading up on these websites and Dr. Furman's website, I was up until 3 a.m. on this website, and he says that once you detox your body, once you start eliminating the toxins and you actually do a detox, which is on the internet and in the health food stores, you basically clean everything out of your body doing a detox. You eat very lightly for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And you basically crap everything out of your body. Mm-hmm. Once you do this, okay, he says the other problems, like ulcers or psoriasis or thyroid problems, that they will disappear. And like you said, your body will heal itself. Right now, your body can't heal itself because all it's doing is fighting the toxins. And I could hear, like, Vicky in Pennsylvania right now saying, oh, Darla, you know, who cares? Because she's, like, eating her Doritos. And, right, Vicky, you're eating your Doritos. But you know what? Didn't her husband's ex-wife just die of something? Yeah, she just died, I think, of stomach cancer or whatever, colon cancer. I don't know. But she had written on the boards, and this was a woman who ate a lot of cabbage because cabbage is supposed to be good for you. But this is the point. You, even if you're eating good now, it doesn't make up for the years of abuse you put on your body. Mm-hmm. You have got to clean that out of your body. You have got to get it out. Each of us holds 10 pounds in our gut of old food that's stuck in your intestines. Do you know that?
I had heard something about that. I knew about the importance of, there was a big thing a few years back about cleansing your colon, basically, and that's what it was doing, is getting all that extra goo out of there.
I just bought from the health food store, it's in a box, they're little pills, I don't know what's in them, but it's everyday detox, and I'm going to start taking them, and I'm going to drink more water, I'm not drinking coffee, and in fact, though, I did read on the internet that coffee enemas are very successful for cleaning you out. So, girls, if you stop drinking coffee, you can shove it up your ass.
Or just take a just take a coffee bean and stick it up there.
just shove it up there. But, you know, this is something I'm adamant about because I continuously have, you know, I have pain in my nipple, in my left nipple all the time. I have pain in my back. I go for tests. I said to the doctor, my last physical, if I was ridden with cancer right now, could you tell? And he said, no. Okay, you go for one test, it doesn't mean, you know, if you go for a sore throat, they can't tell if something else is going on. All my heart problems, when I was getting my chest x-rayed for my heart problems, I said, if I have breast cancer, can you tell? They said no.
And then what?
Yeah, because you have to do specific testing for specific diseases. The whole system is ridiculous.
I thought that I had heard recently that you could actually take a blood test to determine if you had cancer or not.
Well, first of all, you heard that from me here, that there is a blood test that Dr. Mercola and Dr. Chris Gupta are saying that if you take a blood test and there are certain levels in your blood, it's not even of the hormone that you would only have if you were pregnant, it means you have cancer. So, for example, when you take the EPT test and it turns color, it's because your body has a specific hormone. Mm-hmm. And I forgot the name of the hormone. I think it's HRC. But you would only have that in your body if you had cancer. However, when I called up Dr. Gaynor and I called up Dr. Furman and I asked around about that, they all told me that the cancer would have to be so progressed for that to happen.
Oh.
Regardless, it still should be given. This blood test should be given. And do you know, I know a woman who had a mammogram, okay? Sheryl Crow was just on Larry King and said that she had a mammogram. Let's just say in July, and then 3 months later, she found a lump in her breast and had breast cancer. Just because you're getting a mammogram doesn't mean that it's always going to pick everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's baloney. Are you telling me that in this world right now, in our country, they can't come up with a test to detect cancer in your body? Get the hell out of here. I don't believe it. It's crap. I think that it's the biggest – cancer is the biggest money-making industry in this country. Mm-hmm. America is the only country in the whole world that has their drugs on the stock market. People make money off of drugs in this country.
Yep.
What the hell is that? It's disgraceful.
It is. I can agree with you there.
It's disgraceful. Nobody should be getting rich off of people being sick.
Well, not only that, but where's the motivation to find a cure? Like I was saying earlier, where's the motivation to find the cure for cancer, find the cure for AIDS, or whatever? There is none. I mean, let's just look at the common cold alone. Think of it. If there was a shot or one pill that could completely cure the common common cold, Sudafed, Advil, Tylenol, crap.
There is cure for the common cold. It's a natural cure. It's called vitamin C. It's vitamin C. People go and buy all this cold crap, like you're saying, Sudafed, all this crap, which the drug company's making tons of money. Well, you don't have to take that. In fact, if you go to Dr. Gupta, GUPTA.com, his website, he says that they're actually trying to get rid, to try to make it illegal for you to buy vitamin C. They want to try and get it to be a prescribed vitamin because they're so terrified that people now are starting to read on the internet that they can go and take more vitamin C to get rid of the cold. The best way to get rid of your cold is this. Put on a sweater, take extra vitamin C, and make a bowl of homemade chicken soup. Homemade chicken soup. Okay, I think my, did I put that in my book? Is that in my book? That's something I make all the time in the fall, once a week. Give it to your children. It is the best gift you could give your children.
And it's good, too.
It's so good. Do you make homemade chicken soup?
You know, I was just going to say, when my mother-in-law was here this last weekend, I've never made homemade chicken stock ever in my life. And she showed me how to do it, and it's so easy, and it is worth it. It is 100 times better.
It's so easy. And you know what? You're home on a chilly day like today. I'm going to take my big pot. I buy a small chicken, okay? Get a small chicken, organic, of course. Get a Bell & Evans small whole chicken. I put some olive oil in the bottom of your pan, slice up onions, leeks, and celery. Get that all sauteing in the bottom, add some kosher salt, then put your chicken in, brown your chicken on each side, get it nice and browned. Everything's going to start to get gunky and stuck on the bottom of your pan. Scrape it off. That's the best stuff. Turn your chicken over, and then put in about 6 cups of water if you want, or you could use, you know, organic chicken stock if you want to add that. But you put in your 6 cups of water or your chicken stock if you already have it or if you want to use canned chicken stock and cover that up, put in dill, put in fresh parsley, whatever herbs you want to put in there. And just let it simmer for a good hour and a half and keep adding, you know, water until that. And you're going to break it down. And then when the chicken is soft and cooked, peel all your chicken off the bone. Get all your chicken out of there, then cut up your vegetables, throw in your carrots, your turnips, everything into your water, cook that for about a half hour. You could actually put it in, you know, with the chicken if you want, if you have room. And then, you know, at the end, you can throw in your noodles. A lot of people make their noodles separately because they don't want to suck up all of the juice. But I usually just throw my noodles right in, and I just add more chicken stock. But that's how I make my homemade chicken soup. And I use turnips and rutabagas, and, you know, it's very yummy.
I like the, I haven't done yours yet, but I like the one that my mother-in-law showed me because it just floored me. She took a whole chicken, threw it in a stock pot, and she took a couple onions, chopped them in half, skin and all, threw them in, took a couple of garlic head, you know, heads of garlic or whatever, the whole thing.
Right.
Sliced
that in half. Oh, I put garlic in mine too. I forgot. Garlic is very important. It's a decongester.
And it's just a really good flavor, too. But she threw all this stuff in, skin and all, to get the chicken stock going. And then after a while, she drained it all out, you know, when the chicken was cooked. And then, you know, threw the chicken back in off the bones. And then added fresh vegetables and did it that way. And added just a little bit of chicken flavoring, you know, to get it a little more chickeny. So it was just cool. It fascinated me that, you know, the chicken stock actually came out of using skin and all on the garlic and the onions. Sounds gross, but it was really good. Yeah. You don't eat it in the end. You know, you strain it all out.
Straining it out. But I'll tell you, it's medicinal. When you boil the chicken, when you boil the vegetables together, it has this medicinal purpose because this has been going on for centuries. You know, all of these old wives' tales, they stay around for reasons. It really does work. You know, don't go out with your wet head. You know, you get a head cold. And I love that there are these people who are like, well, it's impossible. You have to get a cold from a bacteria. I don't care what people say. I don't care what these doctors say. I think most doctors are morons, okay? And I think that, not that they're morons, lots of my friends are doctors, but I think that they're not open to reading or learning anything new. I mean, one of my friends, he's a doctor, and he's like, I went to medical school, I don't want to hear it. What the hell is that? He went to medical school, so he doesn't want to learn anything new? Only what he learned back then, 20 years ago? Does that even make sense?
No, that doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't make any sense, but I think that, you know, when you have something that has stayed around through the centuries, like eating chicken soup and, you know, giving someone hot tea with honey and lemon when they have a sore throat, obviously these methods work.
Well, and you know what's interesting, like about in the case of the chicken soup, you're cooking your vegetables, at least the way my mother-in-law did it, with the skin on. And I've heard for a long time that the nutrients out of vegetables come from the skin. So,
Unless,
like,
though,
if you.
but if it's not organic, you're getting a lot of pesticides from that skin. The
Well, I
truth
know.
is, but then you should, if you don't have, seriously, if you're not using organic vegetables, you should peel that skin.
Right. But all like potatoes, for instance. I love eating potato skins, and that's where all the nutrients of the potatoes are. You know what I mean?
Well, if you really want nutrients, then you need to get out your juicer. And girls, you know, I wrote about it in my book. Get your juicer out and take a potato, take your white potato, take an orange, take a beet. Take, you know, some fresh vegetables, some fresh fruit, you juice it, mix it all together, and that's where you're going to get your freshest, you know, nutrients. Juicing, you know, you it pulls all of the good stuff out of the vegetable without all of, you know, the fiber and, you know, the gunk that fills you up. So if you really want to start, you know, getting nutrients, Dana, and Dana, it sounds like your diet really is bad. You better snap into action.
Oh, knock it off. Mine's not
No.
as bad as some.
Well, who cares what other people are doing? You're just, in your diet today, I don't hear that you're eating any fresh salads or any fruits or vegetables.
But I'm having steak for dinner.
Well, yeah, and that thing's going to sit inside your intestines for like 6 months.
With a non-organic cow.
Well, I don't know why you're proud of that. How old are you?
I'm not 40.
Well, you're not 40, but you also smoke. Are you still smoking?
Yes.
All right, so do you want to die and leave your kids on this earth without you? Is that your goal?
No. No. See, why do you always get on my case? I
Because
am
you're the
the
only one
only.
here right now. If
You
someone
don't
else
get.
was here, I would get on their case.
No, you wouldn't. You
Of
never
course,
pick.
Dana,
No.
of course I would. I'm not picking on you. I want you to live and be healthy. Everyone can indulge in a steak once in a while, of course. If you're having a steak for dinner, but you're having a great salad full of raw vegetables for lunch,
Well, no,
but
okay.
you have to even it out. You can't just have coffee and then steak.
Okay, honestly, on a day-to-day basis, this is typically how it goes. I don't usually eat breakfast because I can't stomach it. For lunch, I usually just grab a quick sandwich. But for dinner, I almost always make sure my family's eating a good, well-rounded meal. The other night, we smoked pork chops and had some rice with it, and there's always a fresh vegetable that I serve. So it's not as bad as I make it sound. And we do eat a lot of salads around here. Organically, I would love to eat organically, but to be honest with you, up here where there's like hardly any natural food stores, it's really expensive. And my budget can't handle.
First of all, I'm not saying that you have to eat all organic. I know a lot of moms, it does cost more money in some counties, and it is maybe hard to find. However, certain things you have to be choosy and be more careful. You know,
Okay, well then that's.
you can soak your vegetables with lemon. You can try and get the pesticides off. You can peel your vegetables. All I'm saying
Okay.
is that you have got to introduce more green vegetables into your diet, more apples. You know, right now, yesterday I took a pumpkin, I put it in the oven, I baked it, and then for dinner I made pumpkin with pasta. It was so delicious with sautéed onions and garlic. It was delicious. My girlfriend was here, she was going wild. She couldn't believe how good it was.
Okay, well, wait a minute. What'd you do with the pumpkin? You cooked it like you would a squash?
Yeah, I just stuck it in the oven. I cut it in half, stuck it in the oven. I sprayed some olive oil on each one and baked it for like an hour. Then I took it out and I scraped it out. In my pan, I sauteed lots of onion with olive oil with lots of garlic, some kosher salt. And then in another pot, I made some tiny macaroni, like little square, like notchy macaroni things. I boiled that. And then when that was done, I drained it and I put the olive oil with the onions over it. I scooped out the pumpkin, poured that over it, mixed it all together. It was delicious. But
Now,
the reason I'm bringing this up is it's very important right now to eat the vegetables that God has given us in season. Your
right.
body has a season for life. There was a book, See Eating for the Season. I read it and I don't remember who wrote it. But each season, you're given a bountiful harvest because your body needs to eat those fruits and vegetables in season. So right now, apples are in season, pumpkin, squash. You should be making this stuff every day. This is what's in season. In the summer, you're supposed to eat the summer fruits and vegetables. And when you eat what's in season, you it's easier to get local produce.
And it's cheaper. Yeah, definitely.
And it's cheaper. So, like, right now, I would not go buy blueberries. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I buy what's in season because it's cheaper, and I can get my hands on local produce that is, you know, freshly grown.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Coming from somebody who's got a limited grocery budget, name the top three things that we should be eating organic. Just three things.
Dairy.
Okay.
Meat.
Okay.
And any kind of porous fruit or vegetable. So, for example, I wouldn't buy organic potatoes. Just peel them. I wouldn't buy organic pumpkins because you're going to eat the inside. I wouldn't waste my money on organic bananas because you're going to peel that. Even though when I get my bananas home, I rinse them with soap and water because the kids are holding that banana.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting all those pesticides and, you know, immigrants pee. You know, whoever picked that banana, they pee on that banana. You know how I feel about that. But seriously, I wash everything off. You know, and right now we went apple and pumpkin picking. We went to a local farm. Did the farm say organic? No. I'm sure that they did use some kind of pesticide. So when I came home, I soaked all the apples in water with lemon. I rinsed off the pumpkins because I also get a lot of fruit flies, which I cannot stand.
Mm-hmm.
So I washed everything off. But number one, the dairy. You should be buying – every food store now has organic dairy. Don't tell me you can't find that, Dana.
No, I know it is. But like, and that's my point, you know, a dozen eggs is twice as much organic than non-organic.
Okay, well, let's concentrate on the milk more than the eggs.
Okay.
Okay, so I would go with the milk because your children are drinking the milk and the cows are getting so much bovine hormones that your girls are going to end up getting their period at age 9 and 10, which is dangerous for them for the rest of their lives. So mm-hmm. The organic milk, number one.
Okay.
If you can, when you're buying the, you know, their yogurt, buy the Stonyfield Farm yogurt instead because mm-hmm. it doesn't have the bovine hormone or antibiotics.
Okay.
So the milk is number one. Mm-hmm. Then your yogurts. Whatever your kids eat a lot of, I would concentrate on that. Okay. Plus, I wouldn't give your kids that much, you know, milk. I mean, they should be drinking a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents don't give the kids any water. And don't give them any soda. Get rid
of
soda.
Or juice.
Juice is okay, like one cup of juice a day, as long as it's not, you know, the worst juice in the world. Like, you know, don't give them high C, you know what I mean? Try and give them if you can. And buy what's on sale. This week, Paul Newman's juice mm-hmm. was on sale, 2 for $5, and his juice is organic juice.
Okay.
You know, buy what's on sale if you can. And orange juice. Listen, I would concentrate on the milk. Then with the meat. Okay. If you ask your grocer, a lot of grocers now are using cows that have been grown without antibiotics and hormones.
Mm-hmm.
There's Silver Edge meat over here in New York. I don't know what you have over there, but you ask the grocer. Now, Coleman's beef, Smithfield Farms pork, mm-hmm. and Bell and Evans chicken.
Mm-hmm.
These are mainstream now. They're in all the grocery stores. You should have that.
Okay.
And it's not any more expensive. I'm telling you, the organic chicken is the same price as the other chicken.
Okay.
I have not found it to be any more money. But in your area, anywhere across the country where people have farms,
mm-hmm.
I would go to that farm and see if you could get on a kind of cow co-op. Because the local farms may, you know, you may be able to buy meat from them.
Well, they do have that up here. They actually had an article in the paper recently. But a half a cow processed costs over $700. So, you know, you've got to be able to have that $700 to get the, you know.
But you have to ask around because I know that there are co-ops where you can go in with another family and, mm-hmm. you know, take a piece of the cow. Or you could just go week to week. Let's put it this way. I'll tell you this. Getting fresh local produce and fresh local meat to me is just as good almost as getting the organic, because my biggest problem with the non-organic meat is that it's coming out of these huge commercial factories where mm-hmm. nobody's watching what happens, where meat falls on the floor, where the cows are eating dead cows. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
If you go to a local farm and you meet the farmer and he's got 30 cows and you're going to get a cow with fresh meat and fresh milk – that, and he's given that cow grain, and you see the cows are roaming around,
mm-hmm.
then I think that's great. Go get that milk and get that meat. But I don't want, hold on, the big commercial dairy, the dairy farms that used to be ran by families when everything was great in America, when the families ran the farms. Now you have these government corporations that came in, and the whole thing is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you can get a local farm, I mean, just like I went apple picking over here. Is it organic? No. But I think it's just as good because it's fresh local produce grown on a small farm.
Right, right. I was just looking. I had remembered when you said eat local. I remember on Erin's blog, she's got a link to the Eat Local Challenge. And so I just clicked on that. It's called the eatlocalchallenge.com. And it's got in there actually avoiding pesticides. And I think there might be an area where you can find your local, you know, areas that you
right.
can go.
Well, there's
to.
Also a thing. We have it on. It's on Happy Houses Club. I think on the favorite links page, which is I think it's localharvest.com.
Yeah.
.org.
Yep.
And you put in your zip code, and you can find farms near you. But anyway, okay. Dana, we have gone on way too long. I have got to clean my kitchen, and I've got to go to the food store. I have a lot to do. You have a great day, and please.
You too.
Please eat a salad today.
Okay, I'll get one from McDonald's.
All right, take care. Goodbye.
Bye.